The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. Hey, it's a nice Monday. It's 7-11-2022. And boy, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Real easy to do. Let's see, we have four open lines, so want to hear from you. Okay, so I released an article today on, not a big deal. Why did it say the Lord said to my Lord, release that? Working on some other stuff too, and got some ideas in the works, and we'll be working on those here at the Carm Intergalactic Headquarters. We're gonna do some teaching and some other stuff. We got some stuff going. Anyway, like I said, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276, and hope you all had a great weekend. I had a good one. Thanks for asking. All right. Why don't we just jump on the lines? Let's just get to Alex from Florida. Hey, Alex, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, I really want to make you laugh again, but I'm going to hold back.
Okay. All right. So what do you got, man?
So I heard this a while back, and I wanted your take on it. I'm not going to say who it's from, but it was a post from Twitter, and he's a somewhat popular person, but this is the quote. It's, since prophecy always accompanies miracles, and we now have a prophetic word more fully conformed in the canon of Scripture, we should not expect men to perform miracles any longer. And to expect miracles is to doubt the sufficiency of Scripture.
Yeah, that's faulty logic. To expect miracles is doubt sufficiency of Scripture. That's ridiculous, because if you're praying for a healing of somebody, you're praying for a miracle. And if you're asking God to heal your wife, your son, your daughter, and a miracle happens, that doesn't mean you don't believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. So it's not logically consistent.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was pretty offended by the statement, because, you know, as someone like you who's not a full cessation, you know, I don't deny the sufficiency of Scripture, you know, like, just because I expect miracles and think that Christ can still work through us in miracles. I mean, this person is basically attacking everyone, you know.
Who said it?
Who still believes in the gift.
Who said it?
I don't want to say.
Well, you can let me know, so I wouldn't mind knowing.
And the reason is because I'll let you know privately. I'll let you know more.
Okay.
Privately.
Yeah, there's going to be, I understand, some people I know have raised some funds to do a documentary or something on why the charismatic gifts have all ceased. And I'm interested in that topic very much, because I believe very, very strongly that the charismatic gifts are still around. And I'm willing to stand my ground on that and say, well, biblically speaking, let's look at the text, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. You know, yeah, I want you to email me. Just email me, like, in the next minute. Who said that? Okay.
Yeah, I'll just text you. I'll just text you the quote.
Oh, you can text me. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. I'll just text you the quote. But, yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I think I have a lot of friends in these Reformed circles, and I'm Reformed. I believe in the doctrines of grace. But I think a lot of this push towards the gift feast, It's a big hindrance these days, and it's very divisive, you know, in a lot of respects.
Right.
It causes division, and it's like, well, if you don't agree, then we're going to look at you differently, and it, you know, it's a shame, so, but that's just kind of how it is right now, so.
Yeah, I say go ahead and look at me differently. I don't care.
I know you don't.
I don't care. Yeah, and, you know, that's okay. Yeah, I'm quite familiar with the topic. I've written a lot on it, and the primacy, of course, is Scripture. Nothing in the Scripture that I'm aware of says the gifts have ceased, and I'm quite aware of 1 Corinthians 13:8-13, and I'm very aware of what it says there. I've exegeted it, gone through, and, you know, I would have a debate on it. And of course, you can get a competent debater on the other side and maybe make some people convinced, but it won't happen for me because, you know, the Bible says you're not to lack any charismatic gift while you're waiting for the return of Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:7. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about that and you're saying, like, taking out all the passages, you know, you just have to keep crossing them out. I mean, it's true. You know, you make a great point. And I was also going to say, have you thought about going back on Apologize Live, you know, with Andrew and Anthony and them? And maybe I'll come on there with you.
Apologize? Oh, you mean with Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go on there if they were to ask me to come in and give that perspective. But the guys there know my perspective, and they've never asked me to come in and defend it and establish it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That I remember. And I just talked to Andrew yesterday, I think it was. And so he needs prayer. A lot of things going on in his life.
Yeah, I know what's going on. Yeah, we've been praying for him.
Okay. Good. And also, Justin Peters, you know, I talked to Justin a few months ago about it. And I said, Justin, why don't we talk about the other side? And he just flat out said he's not interested in even having a discussion on the charismatic gifts. They are done. They're ceased. He was very adamant. And I was really surprised because I love Justin. He's a great guy, seriously.
Yeah, 100%.
He is. A lot of respect for him. But I was just surprised that a discussion wasn't even possible. So, you know, okay. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting when that movie comes out because I know you'll have a response article and some follow-up for sure. So.
Oh, yeah, I would love to take it and then take quotes and do an exegesis of it and politely say, why are you doing this if it's going to cause division in the body of Christ? Because it's going to raise the issues set, it's going to polarize people. And nothing in the Scripture says the gifts have ceased. In fact, it's cessationism that if you were to go through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, print them up, you know, just print them up. Take a pen and go through and cross out the stuff related to cessationism. So when it says, pray that you can prophesy, sorry, don't do that anymore. Cross that out. It's not applicable for the church today. And things like that, or when you come together and have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, let them interpret, cross those out. So cessationism is the only Protestant doctrine I know of where, if you believe it, it invalidates portions of Scripture.
That's some strong words right there.
But it's true. It's true if you were to assume cessationism, you know. And so, for example, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, all right? It says, pursue love. That's no problem. Do that. Yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So, especially that you may prophesy should be crossed out. Because that would not be applicable today. Therefore, he was only speaking to the Corinthian church at that time in that dispensation. So therefore, that would not be applicable today. So we could not preach that we are to prophesy. But the lessons, hey, the Corinthians are supposed to trust in God's word and prophesy because they didn't have the Bible yet, and that's how they'll exegete it. Say, oh, okay, so then it doesn't apply to us today, does it? No, it doesn't. Okay, next. But the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. So it doesn't apply today either, does it? Cross it out. You know, when he prophesies, speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation, right? They cross it out for today. I'm not saying it's not having its place then. They might say, well, there are certain things back there that were for then only. Well, yeah, fine. Right, but we're talking about the charismatic gifts. Okay? And he says, now that I wish that you all spoke in tongues, that wouldn't be for applicable today now, would it? It's only for the Corinthians. Yet the Corinthian letter is written to everybody, the church universal. So I can go on, and I just don't believe that people should be doing that. Just like Leighton Flowers, he goes on the net and he works against Calvinism. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. But to produce video after video after video attacking it polarizes people, causes division, and I would gladly have a public debate with him on it. But nevertheless, we need to have unity in the body.
Do you have more callers?
We've got a couple waiting, but go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, just one last question. So a lot of times I've heard recently, I was listening to something, end of the age. You know, people mm-hmm. will interpret that as the destruction of Jerusalem. How do you counteract that?
Because at the end of the age, the here, for example, Matthew 13, 30, allow both to go until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up. Gather the wheat into my barn. So this is the parable of the wheat and the tares. The first ones gathered, according to Jesus, are the wicked, not the good. That's Matthew 13:30. So he goes on and he explains it just as, in verse 40, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. So, really, then the Son of Man will bring forth his angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and throw them into the furnace of fire. And so is that the end of the age? That happened in 70 A.D.? No, it didn't. Furthermore, those who would like to say that 70 A.D. was the marker, they'll say that Jesus returned in the armies, and that's refuted flat out, refuted by Acts 1, 9 to 11. Okay, it just is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard it's a popular post-millennial position where they will say the end of the age ended in 70 A.D., but they're not full preterists because they'll say Christ is still going to return.
Well, there are partial preterists, okay? I'm a partial preterist, which says that some of the things that were done were for that generation, but are going to be repeated and or completed in at his second coming. It's called partial preterism. So I hold to that, but I don't believe Jesus returned in the armies of Jerusalem or of Rome to destroy Jerusalem, and that was his second coming. Give me a break. This is not happening, you know? So, okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, brother, man. I'll keep calling in during the slow summer hours.
All right, brother. God bless, Alex. Appreciate it, man.
God bless you.
Hey, and I got a recommendation for you. There's some, you should take some baking soda, a little bit of powdered vitamin C. Just wait till the fizz goes away. Just down it really fast.
Yeah, you lost me on that. I'm not doing that ever again. I'd rather just drink who knows what, man.
Well, drink.
Not listen to a guy. Go ahead.
You just try just the vitamin C and then see how it works, okay? I'm telling you.
Everyone right now, listening to a guy on the radio named Splick for medical advice, you're fool you. You know, you're.
That's right. That's right. That's right, buddy. All right, Alex. All right.
All right, brother. God bless.
God bless. All right. Three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Not that you need defending, but I've been having a heated debate with my friend Travis. And we both know that you're constitutionalist. He wanted me to ask you, knowing that what you know about Donald Trump right now, could you, as a constitutionalist in good faith, vote for, if you ran in 2024, could you vote for him?
Depends what did he what he would then say. So I don't know what he would say, so I couldn't say yes or no. That's all.
Right. But, Well, I mean, but just based off what you know a little bit about...
No, people ask me about a prophetic thing based on something in the future, and I don't know the future, I can't say yes or no. So it wouldn't be the same. Hold on, buddy. We got a break. Hey, folks, three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, and welcome back to the show. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rudolph. You still there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay.
I think that you answered it, but, I mean, based off of what I know about Trump, he doesn't seem like to be a constitutionalist. He seems like he would be a little bit different than you are.
Well, I haven't studied him, and so all I can tell you is that if he were to run again, I would consider what he would say. I do try and vote as what relates to the Constitution. I believe the Constitution is a brilliant document, and we are a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. And so the news media, when they say democracy, to my surprise, repeatedly, they misrepresent what our government is. And a constitutional republic is a form of government where officials, where we elect the officials, and these officials are to lead us according to what the Constitution says. This is why when our so-called officials raise their hand and swear to uphold the Constitution, they're doing that because a republic is where the people vote in the leaders. The leaders are then supposed to obey the Constitution. And I would say that our present leadership, the majority of them, are not obeying the office of their oath, or the oath of their office, I should say. And that they, many of them could be brought up on charges.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
Sounds like a very good answer. What's that?
Yeah, that's my opinion. That's what I believe. And now, right now, because we live in a republic and it's constitutionally based, we have a Bill of Rights. So far, I'm free to say that. But what happens when people reject the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that goes in with it, like, you know, the Article of Free Speech, Article of Right to Bear Arms, you can see what they're doing, they're working against it. In fact, I was reading recently where a guy was said that he had a copy of the Constitution, and it was labeled as terrorist information, terrorist literature, by some people in the government. So when that happens, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. So
that's great.
If we don't stick up for our rights, the government will take it away. This is what the Second Amendment was for. To stop the oppression of a government. That's what it's for. And that's why the Founding Fathers put it in there. And what the government wants to do is remove that right, and they're whittling away at it, whittling away. You shouldn't have this. You shouldn't have that. But the design of it was to protect us against governmental oppression. That's why. That's why it's put so quickly there. Yeah, and I'm not saying we need to have violence, but in November, Lord willing, we'll get rid of a lot of these morons who are in office all over the place. And I'll just tell you that what I've heard and read is that 1 million Democrats have jumped ship and gone to the Republican Party. I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, and that Biden is, you know, he's just wreaked havoc on our economy. If somehow he and they win, or Democrats win again, I won't trust the elections anymore at all. And personally, I don't trust the ones that that happened already. Now, I just said that. I'm going to say it again. I don't trust the validity of the last presidential election. I don't. Now, we've got people who hear me. And what they're going to probably do is file a complaint with YouTube where this goes in. Maybe Facebook, where it goes in, so that my freedom of speech and my freedom of expression is not allowed, and they will censor me, saying, that's disinformation. You're not allowed to have your opinion and share it publicly. So this is what we call a police state, or the beginnings of a police state and fascism. And so we have people who support that, who don't want freedom of speech to be expressed, particularly when it's against the people in power, who I believe, my opinion, just my opinion, I don't believe the election was fair. That's my opinion. Am I right? Maybe. Am I wrong? Maybe. But I'm entitled to my opinion. And by the way, everybody,
okay,
I think you should watch 2,000 Mules. Go find it. Dinesh D'Souza, see if you can find it and watch it. It's most entertaining. All right?
Yeah, that's on YouTube.
Yeah, I hope so. Go find it and watch it. Yeah, if you can. 2,000 Mules, and you'll see it. 2,000 Mules. And it's worth watching. Now, am I going to be punished for saying that? Is that a free country? No.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right.
Well, thank you.
Okay. All right, man. God bless.
God bless.
Whoops. Sorry about that. Let's get to, let's see, David from South Carolina. David, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello? Oh, can you hear me? Okay, good.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I've been a long-time follower of yours. Mm-hmm. Farm, always heading over there for resources.
Good.
Praying for you.
Oh, thanks. I need it. That's like what I just said.
The question I had, I'm not sure how to phrase it properly. I speak like Moses, not like you. But my son, who needs prayer because he's rejected the faith, 21, mm-hmm. has a friend who is a Christian. And he came to visit us recently, and he, you know, is also 21, decided that through his research that he thinks the right church is the Eastern Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. And my son asked me, and because he speaks like he's still very knowledgeable of the Bible, even though he doesn't want to believe because of the sin, he asked if, since the Bible has a canon that they had for figuring out what was scripture, is there a canon that can be used to, let's say, see if there's a one true church through the ages, and you know that there should be, that way you can find out which one to follow.
There is no one true
that?
Church.
I'm not sure.
It's the wrong question.
Okay.
It's the wrong question.
Is there a right question?
How do we follow Jesus? It's not what's mm-hmm. the one true church. And so when people ask me the question, they say, Matt, what's the one true church? I say, it's the body of believers indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And they go to different places. Some go to Baptist churches, some sort of whatever. And they said, no, the one true church. You mean the one true church where it's descended from Jesus Christ and the apostles and has the authority of the apostles to administer the sacraments? And in that church, and only in that church, is where you can find true salvation? Oh, yeah, that church. And I say, well, go to the Mormon church. They say the same thing you want. Go to the Jehovah's Witness organization. Right. They say the same thing. And I say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34, Jesus says, when people say, what's the one true church? They're looking not for Christ. They're looking for an ecclesiastical structure. And so they are on the road to idolatry. Now, hold on, because I got a lot to say about Eastern Orthodoxy. I've been studying it, debating it now for a while. And Eastern Orthodox, they're not Christians. Okay. So hold on, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Dave, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, so Eastern Orthodoxy teaches a false gospel.
Okay. Go ahead. In what way?
Well, here, let me do... What I'll do is read...
Now, I was going to say the only... Like, for me, the only thing I know of Eastern Orthodox, I thought of it as, like, close to Catholicism Mary and all that.
No, it's
and
with
then,
Mary.
Like, maybe the Apocrypha isn't the Word of God, but they still hold on to it.
No. It's not Christian. It is not Christian. All right? So let me read what they teach about salvation. And what I'm going to do, at the preamble this, I have three paragraphs that I've written down from three well-informed Eastern Orthodox individuals. When I would go to Eastern Orthodox literature to find out what's necessary for salvation, it's very difficult to find out what they teach. It's very difficult to find an official book, because you can have this book. Some EO guy might say, we don't affirm that particular book. It's very difficult to nail them down. So what I've done, and I'll do more research on that, but what I've done is written at the behest of, at the request, I should say, or I've requested some of what they're said to be very competent, knowledgeable Eastern Orthodox people. And so I said, okay, where did you get saved? Have your sins forgiven? Here's one of them. Adam lost the proper relationship with God through his sin. Jesus restored the ruptured relationship through his resurrection. Therefore, by participating in the energies of God, that's graces that lead to good works, you slowly become divinized, being made more like Jesus ontologically, and in this process become justified. Well, that's damnable heresy. Because what they're saying is you participate in the energies or the graces of God that help you do good works, that change you internally, and in the process you become justified before God. How about this one? We will participate in the energies of God that will deify us. It means becoming like God, identical to what God is, except in his essence. The identical things are things like immortality, glorified state, which is energized by what God is in his operations. He sustains us in our glorified condition. When Jesus became flesh, he deified his human flesh, the uncreated energy of light. That's New Agey, just New Age stuff. Here's one more.
Yeah, that's surprisingly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's bad. God is working in and through you to do good works, which are perfecting your faith in God. These same works purify your faith, and that purified faith then brings theosis, becoming like Jesus, and Christ-likeness by which righteousness is obtained. It is the grace of true faith of orthodoxy that achieves theosis. Now what they're saying is, hey, it's on what you believe. So this is what I've done with EO people. I say, okay, can I ask you a question? You know, you believe you have to, you know, you got to do good things, right? I mean, you can't just go out and be bad, right? And they said, that's correct. I said, okay, so is this correct? Is this correct? Many have found the requirement, second requirement, more difficult. This is for salvation. It is to obey God's laws, yes, to conform one's life to the moral requirements set out in the Bible. This includes refraining from a debauched and immoral way of life. See, so do you agree that that's how you have to, you know, what you do to be saved? And they go, oh, yeah, uh-huh. And I said, okay, I read that from the Watchtower Organization, February 15th, 1983, page 12. Yeah. So that's bad. And then sometimes I'll read them 2 Nephi 25:23, and about half of them agree with it and half of them don't. It's out of the Book of Mormon, which says you're saved by grace through faith after all you can do. So they don't hold to justification by faith, even though I will show them specifically in the Scriptures where it teaches it. They still will just deny it. And I've asked them, what must you do to have your sins forgiven? And here's the paragraph for that. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptism leaves the mark of God, and we receive a supernatural grace of God in baptism, which is the uncreated energy of God. Then we are chrismated, or sealed, by the Holy Spirit. Then, through a living life in the church of good works, fulfilling the sacraments, the channels of grace, etc., the more we participate in these good works, the more grace we receive. With this grace, we are deified and will eternally move towards God spiritually. You can lose grace and get some grace back, the gift of God's own presence and action in his creation. So get this. So through a living life in the church of good works, channel of grace, you participate and you receive grace. Now, grace is the unearned favor of God. And they say by doing these things, you get God's grace. It's a cult. It's like Roman Catholicism. It just teaches a false gospel. That's all it's doing.
It almost, I mean, the way you were talking about energies and whatever that word, the deism, mm-hmm. that it sounds like Mormonism in that aspect.
Oh, yeah. Now, they will teach that, you know, theosis, becoming like Jesus. Now, in what sense do they mean? Well, sometimes they actually say an actual change in our nature. And I tell them, I said, you can't have a change in our nature, otherwise we're no longer human. And they don't get it. I have to teach them just simple logic. But and what they'll do repeatedly is just recite whatever their EO church tells them to recite. They don't think. They just recite. They just recite. That's what they do. Okay? And they teach you can lose your salvation, and the reason you can lose your salvation is because you have to go through the sacraments and you have to continue to do good works. And if you don't do all these things, well, you're not going to have your salvation. So if you're in a state of grace, just like Catholicism, a complete state of grace, and you die in it, you go to heaven. But if you die without in a state of grace, you got problems.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, and I tell people it's bad. And it's a false religion, but it's making a lot of inroads lately. A lot of people are converting to it, and so
The one reason I was thinking about it is I know you used to have on your site, you used to have a link to A.P. Yohannan's book. I actually was in ministry with Gospel for Asia, and their church that they build in India, in Asia, is an Orthodox church, but I don't know if it's Eastern Orthodox, but it's definitely Orthodox.
Yeah,
I've been over there, and the people I've met there are amazing, and they're serving the Lord. I don't know specific. It's called Believers Church in India. I don't know exactly if they follow the same path as Eastern Orthodox or.
Don't know. A lot of times, people will use the word Orthodox in their church, like the OPC. Orthodox Presbyterian Church, okay, as an example. So just because they have the word there doesn't mean that that it's there. Okay?
Okay, so there's different Orthodoxes. Eastern Orthodox is a specific...
Well, just be careful. We don't know exactly what there is, what they're saying with that. Right. Okay? All right.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
Thank you very much, man.
All right, man. God bless. Okay.
You too.
Bye. All right, talk to you later. All right, let's get on the air with next longest waiting is Anonymous from Georgia. Welcome, you're on the air.
Thanks, Matt, for taking my call.
Sure.
A real-life situation. I don't know if you heard about the cult in, I think it was Australia, where 12 members were arrested because for the death of a child because they didn't get medical help for that child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
I have
a concern with one of my... young relatives that is being neglected medically because the parents believe that all you need to do is pray for healing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I read your stuff on Christian Scientists. That was helpful. They're not Christian Scientists per se, but I have this idea of just prayer to healing. And I'm trying to prepare myself with arguments. The only thing in the Bible I think that they can misinterpret is in Mark 5 where the woman is... bleeding, it says she spent all her money on doctors and still wasn't healed until she went to Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They misinterpret the point of that miracle. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you can give me any practical advice about how people come to this belief of all you need is prayer and fasting and you don't need to go to medical doctors.
What I do is go to James, I think it's James 5, and anoint... is it any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they'd pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered to faith will restore who's one. So they're saying there, don't go to doctors because it says to the elders. We've got a break, so hold on. And we'll go on this a little bit more, okay? We have one open line. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back, please. Stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. Let's get back on the air with, all right, Anonymous from Georgia. Hey, welcome. You're back on the air. You still there?
Yes, thank you.
All right. The Bible in no way teaches that we are to avoid doctors. The Bible does teach, 1 Timothy 5:23, for example, it says, take a little wine for your stomach. So wine was considered a form of medicine back then. and they didn't have like drugs that we have, but that you're to take those things, and that would be administered by people like Luke was a physician, and so he would have worked and done various things. In the Old Testament, I know that there are instances, and I'll write an article on this, I'm going to do it. Does the Bible teach it's okay to go to doctors? I'll write an article today and tomorrow on it. There are bandages that are used, balm is used, various things are used medicinally. And the Bible does say, call the elders in James 5. James 5, where did I just had it? There it is, 14. Call the elders of the church, pray over them, anointing them with oil. And that oil is a kind of medicine that was used. Now, it's the elders who are to administer it, that's fine. And it says the prayers to be there. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jews had different people whose job it was to provide bandages, to provide helps and varying things and wounds. And so they would be equivalent to our doctors today. So when Christians who misuse the Bible say that we're not to go to doctors, that's insanity. And ask them, do they go to an ophthalmologist and get glasses? Do they? Do they go to the dentist and get their cavities filled? Do they?
That's right.
You know? So I ask them. I'll talk to them. I'll say, do you? You know, do you go to the doctor? Do you go to an ophthalmologist? Do you? Well, yeah, but that's different. How's it different? Isn't it an eye sickness that you have? You know? About hearing aids. You know, I have hearing aids. So would you get hearing aids? Do you take any aspirin for headaches?
And also,
yeah. Are you there?
I like what you said, too. Remind me about the balm. That there's many quotes about using balm in Gilead, for example. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. That's right. So,
do you remember an old?
Go ahead.
Do you remember an old quote? And I was trying to find a quote in the Old Testament where there's a prohibition against drugs, but I think the word they're misusing is the fact it was using essentially was say illicit drugs. You know.
Right. Really, yeah. Because pharmakia is the Greek word for sorcery.
Pharmakia.
Yes, it's a Greek word for sorcery. But what they would do in that context is use mind-altering things. It wasn't medicinal.
Right.
It was something in occult ceremonies. That's why it was called, that's why it was called sorcery. That's not what it is when you take something. You know, what do you do? I know that there are people who are born with deformed limbs, and they go get surgery, and they have them taken care of. And there are drugs that are great for the brain. When people have deformities in their brain, because their brain's physical, these things help a great deal. So go to doctors. Doctors have literally saved my life. I can remember two instances. I had pneumonia when I was 11, and it was so bad that I would have probably died. And they rushed me to the emergency. I was admitted absolutely quickly. I was so sick, I could not even break the friction from my back clothing shirt sitting on a couch. I couldn't fall over. I couldn't even break the friction and move to fall over. That's how sick I was. They saved my life. I had a gallbladder that died, and 80% chance of rupture of death if it ruptures in you, and it ruptured while they were taking it out. So, you know, doctors have saved my life.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe the argument could be used that how many people have been saved, have been healed only by prayer and fasting, as opposed to how many people have been healed by seeking good medical care.
Yeah, you know, and
do we pray too as well?
Right. A lot of times they'll say, "Oh, you don't have enough faith." Well, wait. What do you mean you don't have enough faith?
Right, yeah.
What are you saying? Well, the faith of but faith has to be according to God's will. So they are inconsistent, and I'll tell you, you just ask them, do you go to an ophthalmologist? Do you?
Okay.
Do you go to an audiologist?
Or a dentist, I think dentist. Right.
A dentist, that's right. Do you go to a dentist for your cavities? No? Yes? Be consistent. So if you don't go to doctors, but you do go to an ophthalmologist, then you're a hypocrite. You're a dentist. You know, you're just inconsistent, and you don't have a leg to stand on. Get away from me. You know, don't talk to me.
Why do you think emotionally or psychologically people are attracted to this irrational thought process.
Oh, well, you answered it. Because it's irrational thought process. It's simple. Look, I tell people this every now and then. I say, you and I, for example, wow, we're almost over the hour. We could make up a cult. You and I could go by email, back and forth, make one up. Make stuff up. And put it up on the web, and people will sign up and believe it. So it happens in the church. It happens outside the church. We have a lot of false teachers out there. That's why, buddy. Okay?
Thank you very much, Matt. I appreciate your take my call. Thank you.
All right, man. God
bless. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Good. All right. Okay. Let's get to Scott from Ohio. Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was baptized when I was about 10 or 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't have nothing to do with Christ. I wasted about 40 years. And I was wondering if I should be baptized again. I've been praying and turned my heart over to the Lord for about 7 years now.
Okay.
And I wanted to know if I need to be baptized again.
Well, let me tell you, I can make the case theologically. Now, remember, theologically, I can make the case that you don't need to get baptized again. I can do that. When you get young, when you're younger and you have the baptism, I can make the case. But I can also make the case, get baptized again. If you're not sure, and you just don't know, and you don't feel as though it was the right thing to do because you walked in so much sin, and that your heart is aching, and you're doubting whether that baptism was real or not or what, and if you just don't know, you know what, just go get baptized. And okay. just trust that the Lord is there with you, and that he's not going to punish you for trying to do what you believe honors him. So I'm supposed to go to Israel in February, and people have asked me to baptize them in the Jordan River, and they've already been baptized, and I'm going to do it because I don't believe it's a sin to get baptized twice or three times or four times. I don't believe it's a rejection of the first baptism. I believe it's a ceremony and a confirmation and an admission and an identification even more with Christ. So I think that's fine. Okay? And I know about Ephesians 4, 5.
Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I hope that helps. Does it help?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
yes,
brother.
Yes, very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless. All right. Let's get to John from Wisconsin. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
First time I've ever called. I've just started listening not long ago.
Oh, well, good. Praise God, man. So what do you got? What's up?
Oh, I've been going to church with my older brother and trying to find a church for me to be, you know, mm-hmm. more involved in rather than just kind of show up. And
mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you had any advice as to what to look for in the church,
yeah.
the sermons.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And what I would recommend is to go to my website, carm.org, and type in what to look for in a church. Okay?
Okay.
That's what the article is. What to look for in a church? What things should we look for in a church at the website CARM, C-A-R-M? So if you were to type in Google C-A-R-M, and then just type in what to look for in a church. What things should we look for in a church? You'll find the article, and it's listed out. Things to avoid and things to look for. Right there. Bad churches are everywhere. If they affirm women pastors and elders, avoid it. If they support homosexuality, avoid it. Are unbelievers paid to lead worship? Don't go there. Do they require baptism for salvation? Avoid them. Full preterism? And it's in there. Or universalism, or annihilationism, or they promote legalism, or positive confession, or preach moralism. Okay? Or soul sleep. So there's things there. I could always expand on that. But there you go. Okay?
Okay. Thank
Okay.
So my brother-in-law is much more knowledgeable than I am, I'd say.
Have him call me.
Newer at faith. Mm-hmm. He was bringing up that they were tending to preach more of what we can do in the sermons, like what we're supposed to do, that we're required to do certain things, and he was kind of disagreeing with that.
Well, it depends what they're preaching it for. We are to do things in order to honor God, but not to be saved or maintain our salvation. So we are to do good things. And if they teach you have to do good things to keep yourself right with God, well, just dust your feet off on the way out. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. I will look that up on the website.
All right, carm.org is my website, and just type in what things to look for in a church. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, brother, God bless. All right, let's get to Gary from Ohio. Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Welcome. Hey, Matt. Hey, real quick. Are you there?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, hey, I started evangelizing. It's been several months now, and I ran into a lady that I was trying to give her son a Bible, and she was real. After a few seconds, she told me that she's Northern paganism. Is that a German? I don't. You know, I'm born again Christian, but she wouldn't hear anything I had to say. She just kind of left me. But
I've never heard of it before. But while you're talking, I looked it up. And dedicated to the religious tradition known as Northern Tradition Paganism, the non-Reconstructionist neo-pagan worship of the Norse Germanic gods. All the Northern gods are honored here as worshipers, devotees, lovers, spouses, priests, priestesses, githias, mystics, shamans, and just interested folk who can keep the rules of Frith. And hospitality. Yeah, those. So right there, I know what they're about and how to refute them. It's easy by asking questions. But they're in trouble, obviously.
Oh man, it's so sad. You know, it's sad. You know, and I can only do so much. I had to move on. And another thing too. You know, you can't force somebody to take something. You clearly, I would.
Oh, there's a music. There's a music, man. We got to go.
Okay.
Hey, call back tomorrow. We'll talk some more about this because
that's
interesting. All right. That is interesting stuff. All right, man. God bless.
Thanks, man. All right. Have a good evening. Yeah, man.
All right. And Chuck from Burlington. Call back about Seeker? Friendly churches. I think that's what you're talking about. Let's talk about that tomorrow. Very informative and very important we talk about that. We'll be right back tomorrow. Hey, God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.